take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 2. Last week we started taking a look at the book of Daniel. We're going to go through this book chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And this is one of those books that Jesus told us that we need to know and we need to understand. And this is one of those books that points us that Jesus is indeed the Messiah. And this is why we're studying it right now. And last week when we started with Daniel chapter 1, we actually took a look at Daniel chapter 12 first. We looked at the conclusion of the book instead of looking right at Daniel chapter 1 and verse 1. And as we looked at the conclusion of the book, we saw that it's a book about the time of the end. Four times we saw that phrase, all right, in Daniel chapter 12, the time of the end. And it's telling us about the days that we are living in right now. And as the book concludes, it also gives a wonderful promise to Daniel, that Daniel would rise and that he would receive his inheritance. In other words, God was giving him the assurance of salvation through Jesus Christ. And that's why we are studying this book, so that we can remember, so that we will know that we have assurance in Jesus Christ of our own salvation. Now, last week we took a look at the book of Daniel. We turned to Daniel chapter 1 and we saw that there was a battle, a war, a conflict going on. Now God had chose Israel. He had chose Israel to represent him. And God made them the custodians of truth. He gave them the sanctuary service. They had the sacrifices. They had the priesthood, and they were to be a light to the world. He had given them prophets to keep them faithful and true to him. He had given them prophecies that told them what he was going to do in the future. God had made them the custodians of the truth, but Israel rebelled against God. And instead of being a light to the world, They became like the nations around them. God was disappointed. Israel had failed his plan and purpose. God sent his prophets to Israel, calling them to repentance, calling them back to him, calling them back to their plan and purpose. But they continued in their rebellion. And so they went away in captivity to Babylon. Yeah, and we talked about how what is happening to Israel, all right, in Daniel chapter 1 gives us a picture of the great controversy between good and evil, between right and wrong, between Christ and Satan that is going on today. We're in the same battle. We're in the same struggle. And Daniel was in Babylon. Him and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and they went through a brainwashing, all right? They were going to be trained so that Nebuchadnezzar could send them back to Jerusalem and they would be faithful to Babylon. As we took a look at Daniel chapter 1, it looked like there was an apparent defeat of God. His city was destroyed. His people were carried away. His sanctuary was destroyed. And it looked like bad news for God and for his people. But there in Babylon, Daniel was being trained. He went through an education, all right? Based upon man's teachings, man's philosophies. And Daniel did something. Daniel purposed in his heart. He desired in his heart. He made this his theme of his life. His purpose in life was that he was going to remain true and loyal and faithful to God, regardless of the circumstances he faced, regardless of what people may say and talk about him. He was going to be loyal to God, and that is what God is looking for today. People who live in this world, in the darkness of this world, in the Babylon of this world, he wants us to remain faithful and true. He wants us to purpose in our hearts that we will not defile ourselves with the things of this world. And then, as we continued on, we see that Daniel went through this training, and there was a test. And of all things, yeah, it was with what he ate. And he did not want to eat the king's food. The reason why he didn't want to eat the king's food is because it was offered to idols. And he didn't want to associate with the idols that Babylon had. And not only that, he knew that the food affected, all right, his relationship with God. Yeah, we just talked about that this morning. It's important that we realize that our bodies are the temple of God, and what we eat and what we drink affects us and affects the way we think. And Daniel wanted to guard his thoughts. He wanted that connection with God. He didn't want anything to interfere with it. He did not want to separate himself from God. And God said that, hey, there are certain foods that are clean and there are certain foods that are unclean. And Daniel chose the very best diet that anyone could have. He chose vegetables and water. All right? And he was tested for 10 days. And at the end of those 10 days, he was healthier and fitter than all the other young men that were there in Babylon. And so his diet was changed. And at the end of the 3 years, because Daniel was faithful and loyal and obedient to God, he was found to be 10 times wiser. 10 times wiser than any of the other young people that were there. All right. Now we're going to take a look at Daniel chapter 2. All right, Daniel chapter 2. And now it begins. It says, now in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. All right, and so we see the king is troubled here. And you know, as I read this verse, there's something that troubles me a little bit. There appears to be a contradiction in this verse. Did you notice it? All right, now let me read it again. Now in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah, we're not in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar, are we? Yeah, we're in the third year. Remember, Daniel was tested and trained for 3 years. So why is this the second year? You know, and the reason why I point this out is because people look at things in the Bible like this and they say, oh, the Bible, you can't trust it. You shouldn't read it. And the problem is that we don't understand. You know, we don't understand the culture that this was written in. Scholars have studied this out. And what they have found is that back in the Middle East, back at the time of Daniel, they counted the reigns of kings differently than what we would do today. That first year of a king's reign was counted as year zero. All right? His first year would be counted as year zero. His second year would be counted as year one. His third year would be counted as year two. And so as we take a look at this, all right, now in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. So this is happening actually in his third year of his reign. All right. And his spirit, he had dreams. And back at the time, all right, dreams were very important. They believed that the God spoke to them in the dreams. And so Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he knew what was important. He knew that the gods were speaking to him. And it says here, and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. All right? And today, as we take a look at this, all right, and we know what it's like. We know what it's like to have a sleepless night. We know what it's like to forget what we dreamt about. I couldn't tell you what I dreamt about last night. All right? We forget many of our dreams, and this is what happened to the king. He knew what was important. He knew that the gods were speaking to him. And so the king does something. In verse 2, it says, then the king gave the command to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans, to tell the king the dreams. So they came and stood before the king. So he calls in his wise men. He calls in his counselors. All right? And look at how they are made up. All right? Look at this group. It's the magicians who, through their magic, all right, they would put a drop of water in a boiling cauldron of oil, and they would watch how the water would bounce around, all right? And they would say, king, this is what you should do. All right? Yeah, and that was the magician. The sorcerers believed that they could communicate with the dead and that the dead could tell them what the king should do. The astrologers would look up at the stars, and they would study the stars at night and said, this is what you should do. The Chaldeans, yeah, they were the ones who studied things like math and science and history, and then they would say, hey, king, this is what you should do. And he calls in all these wise men. Now, before I continue on in Daniel, hey, this is never what God planned for people to do. He had a better plan for us. If you hold your place here in Daniel chapter 2, I'm going to turn to the book of Deuteronomy. All right? Deuteronomy chapter 18. All right, Deuteronomy, the fifth book, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy chapter 18. Yeah, Deuteronomy chapter 18, beginning with verse 9. All right. When you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. And what were the abominations? Well, here it is. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or soothsayers, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer. Remember, a sorcerer was in the group of wise men that Nebuchadnezzar had. Yeah, you shouldn't have a sorcerer or one who conjures spells or a medium or a spiritist or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. This is what God wanted Israel to do. But now they're in his Babylon. And this is what Babylon does, is the things that God doesn't want us to do. All right? Yeah, God didn't appoint them to tell us what to do. God has given us prophets. He has given us his word. He has given us a sanctuary that we can go to, that we can communicate with him. And that is what God wants. And God, in his love, and in his mercy, he is reaching out to Nebuchadnezzar. And not just Nebuchadnezzar, he's reaching out to the wise men. He's reaching out to all of Babylon through this experience. And he's reaching out to us. He wants us to know that he is God. And one of the things that makes him God is he's able to know what the future holds. This is why we believe in him. This is why we trust in him. He knows the end from the beginning. And we can trust him. We can trust his word. And this is what we're going to see today. That God's word is being tested. God is being tested. And so in verse 3, and the king said to them, I have had a dream and my spirit is anxious to know the dream. In other words, he forgot the dream. And he says, okay, guys, tell me the dream and give me the interpretations. And then the Chaldeans spoke to him, to the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell your servants to dream and we will give you the interpretation. Yeah, that's not what the king asked for. The king asked for the dream and the interpretation. They said, oh, king, hey, we don't care. Just make up a dream. Tell us of a previous dream. Yeah, we don't know what you dreamed, king. And the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made an ash heap. However, if you tell the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts, rewards, and great honor. Therefore, tell me the dream and its interpretation. So the king wants to know. He wants to know what the gods are telling him. He wants to know what he should be doing. He wants to be guided by God. And these men fail him, all right? He can see that they are not telling him the truth. And so they come back to him, all right? And then take a look at verse 7. And they answered and said, let the king tell his servants to dream, and we will give its interpretation. Verse 8. The king answered and said, I know for certain that you would gain time because you see that my decision is firm. And then he goes on and he tells him, if you don't tell me the interpretation, all right, this is your last night on earth. Well, verse 10, the Chaldeans answered the king and said, there's not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such a thing of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. It is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. And so these men are saying, king, it's not our problem, it's your problem. You're asking us the wrong question. They're trying to cover themselves. They're trying to get out. They're trying to reason with the king. Well, the king becomes more furious in verse 12. And so the king gave the command that all the wise men should be put to death. And now this is going to affect Daniel. All right? Yeah, the soldiers come to Daniel and they're going to talk to Daniel. And he asked Arioch in verse 14. Then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel asked Arioch, the captain of the king's guard who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree from the king so urgent? And then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. So he explains to Daniel what happened. So Daniel went into the king and to give him time. Now, there's one thing Nebuchadnezzar knows about Daniel. All right? Daniel was 10 times wiser than anyone. That God had blessed him. God had given him wisdom. And when you meet someone who is 10 times wiser, hey, someone that is smarter than you, yeah, you take note of that. And when Daniel asked for some time, The king says, okay, I'm going to give you time, Daniel. And you know, Daniel is going to get some extra time, but what does Daniel do? All right? Yeah, Daniel is going to go and get his friends together. Look at verse 17. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret. So they took this to prayer. And by faith, they asked God. They asked God for something that was impossible for them to do. They asked God to give us the king's dream. They believed that that dream came from God and that God could reveal it to them. And God does. And he tells them the dream. And Daniel answered, and blessed be the name of God forever, in verse 20. And he praises God for what he has done. And then Daniel will go back to the king. I'm in Daniel chapter 2, and I'm going to go down to verse 26. And king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation? And Daniel answered in the presence of the king, the secret thing that the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers cannot declare to the king. Yeah, he lets him know that these guys failed. You shouldn't be trusting them, king. You should be the one going to God, to the God of heaven, not the gods of men. And in verse 28, but there is a God in heaven. Here's the good news of God's word. There is a God in heaven. Yeah, he knows the end from the beginning. And he reveals it to us. And he's revealing it to Nebuchadnezzar. And God not only knows the future, he reveals it to us. And now we know without a shadow of a doubt that we can trust his word. Yeah, it says here, and God reveals the secrets he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Yeah, this is the theme that we saw in Daniel chapter 12. Yeah, this is a book about the last days. This is a book that tells us how we should live in the last days. It's a book that tells us that we should be faithful and true and loyal and obedient to God. Yeah, he says, your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. As for you, O king, thoughts came into your mind while on your bed about what would come to pass. And he who reveals secrets has made known unto you what will be. But as for me, the secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living, but for our sakes who have made known the interpretation to the king, that you may know the thoughts of your heart. You, O king, were watching and behold a great image. This great image whose splendor was excellent stood before you, and its form was awesome. The image's head was of fine gold, its chest of arms and silver, its belly of thighs and of bronze, and its legs of iron, and partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands and struck the image and on the feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron and clay and bronze and silver and gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found, and the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream. Now, if Daniel was wrong, the king would have said, stop, Daniel. You're not telling me the truth. You're making this up. But the king doesn't stop him. How did Daniel know what the king dreamed? It's only because God revealed it to him. And God wants to have that same kind of relationship with you like he had with Daniel. He wants to be able to use you and speak through you and to reveal what is going to take place on this earth that is written in his word. Now the king could have stopped them, and he doesn't. It says, "You, O king, are a king of kings, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beast of the field and the birds of heaven, he has given them into your hand and has made you ruler over them all. You are this head of gold." And the king must have smiled at that. Yeah. But after that, and the king must have had second thoughts, "But after you shall arise another kingdom, inferior to yours." Yeah, it's going to be another kingdom. Hey, Babylon's not going to last forever. Nebuchadnezzar was hoping to build a kingdom that would last forever. When he was thinking about the future, he was thinking that Babylon was going to be the golden kingdom that would last forever. Yeah, but he wasn't. His kingdom wasn't going to last forever. He says here, there's going to be a next king. And all we have to do is turn to Daniel 5. All right, turn with me to Daniel 5 at the very end of the chapter. All right, there's the handwriting on the wall. Yeah, and it says here in verse 28, as Daniel is speaking to the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, all right, it says, "Then Belshazzar gave the command." Okay, I'm sorry. It says here in verse 28, "Perez, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians." And all we have to do is look in history, and we see that Babylon was defeated. It was overthrown. It did not last forever. And that Babylon fell that very night and was given into the hands of the Medes and Persians. But the Medes and Persians were not going to rule forever. If you look in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 8 with me. Daniel 8, beginning with verse 20. "The ram which you saw, having the two horns, they are the kings of Media and Persia, and the male goat is the kingdom of Greece." Yeah, Medes and Persians were overthrown by the Greek Empire, by a man by the name of Alexander the Great. And they would continue on until the fourth nation that Daniel mentions. Yeah, Daniel mentions that there would be a fourth empire. And all we have to do is look at the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And there we see that there was a worldwide tax. Only a worldwide empire, worldwide nation. Yeah, and it was the Roman Empire that forced this tax, all right? So we see here are the nations that Daniel, 600 years before Christ is born, he gives the future nations of the world. And then he goes on and he explains that, hey, if you look at this image, all right, there are going to be the 2 feet where the 10 toes, where the nations are divided. And they will try to unite by the seed of man. And we will see that in the Bible, it tells us that man will try to unite the kingdom of Rome once again to its original glory, but they had failed. Men like Charlemagne, Charles V, Louis XIV, Napoleon, Kaiser Wilhelm, Mussolini, Hitler, They all failed in trying to unite the kingdom of Rome together. And after this would come a kingdom. And the stone, all right? Yeah, it struck the image. And it grew bigger and bigger and became a mountain. Yeah, this is God's kingdom. Yeah, and God's kingdom is going to live and reign forever. And I would suggest to you today that we're living at the time of these toes. Now, it's interesting that Daniel could have talked about there's copper, there's tin, there's aluminum. Yeah, he doesn't say that. But it ends here. Yeah, the good news of God's word is the world's not going to end in a big bang or boom. An asteroid's not going to wipe out our world as we know it. The world is going to end in the glorious appearing, in the second coming of Jesus Christ. And the question that I have to ask you today is, are you ready for Jesus to come? Just as sure as there was a Babylon, just as sure as there was a Medo-Persia, just as sure as there was a Greek, just as sure as there was a Roman Empire, and that Roman Empire was divided into 10 parts and couldn't even be united by the seed of man. Yeah, Jesus is going to come again. And we need to be ready for that great and glorious day. Now, Nebuchadnezzar's response to all of this, I want you to see this, verse 46, I'm in Daniel chapter 2. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel, and commanded that they should present an offering and incense to him. And the king answered Daniel and said, "Truly, your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret." Nebuchadnezzar's beginning to know God. Nebuchadnezzar's eyes are open. God wants us to recognize that he is the God of God. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And that he's coming again one day soon. He's letting Nebuchadnezzar, hey, know that you can be ready, Nebuchadnezzar. Your whole kingdom can be ready. Jesus is trying to make Israel a light in Babylon. And that's what God wants us to do right here today in Fortuna. All right, wherever we go, whoever we are in contact with, we can be a light, just like Daniel was a light. God can use us just like he used Daniel. And he wants us to purpose in our heart that we will not defile ourselves with the things of this world or the things of Babylon. May God help us. May he bless us all to this end. Let's close in prayer. Father God, thank you for this incredible, amazing story about your love and grace, how you reached out to King Nebuchadnezzar, and you're reaching out to all the Nebuchadnezzars that are in this world today. And Lord, help us to be like Daniel's, that we're faithful and true and loyal and obedient to you. And we know that we cannot do that by our own strength and power. Yeah, we need your help. We need you to come into our hearts and help us to be the men and women that you have called us to be. And through the power of the Holy Spirit and by your grace, we know that we can be those people. So bless us now. May you live and reign in our hearts today and every day. May we recognize that we are your children and that you have a great plan and purpose for our lives. Bless us and save us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.